We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome to the RotoWire, a fantasy soccer show. We're talking Saturday's Premier League slate. We got a three-game slate. I'm Adam Zdrojek, joined by Jordan Cooper and Ryan Belangi, as usual. We got the trio back. We have a big Manchester City heavy slate, but we expect some rotation. We'll see what happens with Kevin De Bruyne here, but Jordan, welcome in. What are our initial thoughts here? We got Manchester City here, an implied goal total more than one than any other team on this slate.
Yep, it's going to be very similar to the past midweek slate, but probably it could end up being, quote, easier, because depending on their rotation, it's going to be even easier to stack all of Man City. It really comes down to the lineup. I mean, who plays, who gets rotated in? Remember, Man City are still, you know, battling the Liverpool to win the league. So it's not like, oh yeah, we're going to focus on Champions League because the league table is already kind of settled. So like, I'm expecting De Bruyne to play. What I'm expecting is maybe you get Foden and Grealish comes on instead of Bernardo, and Jesus comes on instead of Foden. You like get something like that type of, you know, rotation. I mean, fullback wise, they really don't got anyone. Maybe Zinchenko comes into the side. They rotate their center backs. But I mean, the slate's going to come down to whether or not De Bruyne starts or not. I'm going in with the expectation that he does, even though on the RotoWire cheat sheet, we do not have him in the projected starting lineup. But I would not be surprised if Foden started this game also. I mean, like, they're looking to win games, and home to Watford, can you really get that much easier than home to Watford?
Home to Norwich. Ryan, so I guess we can just talk in general here about, man, I mean, I guess we're just guessing here. Maybe we don't even have to discuss what's going on here. But I mean, like Jordan said, everything depends on De Bruyne here. But like, he did enter that last game with the calf issue, whatever he had. And they have the Champions League match Tuesday. And as Jordan said, this is one of the more favorable matches against Watford. And it's not like Pep has to bring on, you know, some C-level guys to where they're not going to be able to win. So like, you're rotating your front three basically from the last match. So you got Sterling, Grealish, and Jesus. Like, these are still guys who are top level guys. So like, they can still, you know, get the 3 points. But just for Man City here, I guess, like, we talked midweek with Mahrez, and he ended up scoring and pretty much hitting his value here. Are we just assuming here that Mahrez isn't going to start? Cause he's one guy that's more likely that, you know, the rotation, he seems like every other type of game. So we're not including Mahrez here. So he's 10.8. We're assuming he's not going to be in. What are we looking at? We got Sterling at 9,300, and then depending on Foden, 8,700. What's the Manchester City forward look here?
So yeah, I know it doesn't matter what we think about expected lineups, but I if I had to guess, I'd say the one that you have up there for RotoWire is the one they use. You know, if there's ever a time to rest KDB and Mahrez and Foden, it's now. They have the Champions League game on Tuesday. That's pretty close. It's against Madrid. This is like the easiest matchup to against Watford. So forward, you're assuming no Mahrez. But I guess it's, we kind of got to talk about KDB also, because, you know, he would take the set pieces. You know, the spot's just too good, like too good compared to the other matchups. You said it has a implied goal total of more than one more than the other games. We try to make arguments to fade Manchester City sometimes, but especially in cash games, you just can't, because the prices are even cheaper now if Mahrez and De Bruyne don't start. I mean, I know we're jumping back to midfield, but Gundogan is too cheap. Grealish is way too cheap. I mean, you pretty much just have to play those guys in cash. I mean, wouldn't you agree, Jordan?
Well, with no KDB in, I mean, absolutely, because where if no KDB, no Mahrez, well, and no Foden, like, the set pieces are going to be Gundogan and I mean, it's Gundogan and Grealish, and they're 6,600 and 5,700 at midfield. The question to me comes in to, at the forward position on this slate for cash games, obviously in GPPs, you know, get lucky.
Yeah.
Is there anyone in the forward slot that's not on Man City that you would consider in cash games? I think there's one that people may consider, and then one that you could punt with, but I don't.
You guys want to have your Chris Wood conversation now?
Yeah, well, that's one of them. Okay. Chris Wood is a Ponzi scheme, and at some I'm just going to double down until I get all my money back on Chris Wood.
I was just going to say I'm so pot committed on Chris Wood that, yeah, I just kind of have to keep going with it. If you've been fading him, I mean, well done, because not only does he not do anything, he's popular also. So all the Chris Wood slates haven't been good to me, but to answer your question, not really. I mean, Rashica, you know, is an option. So if City starts Sterling and Jesus and Bernardo, at least, you know, Sterling and Jesus aren't the greatest cash options, but the matchup's just so good. You know, people will still go there, but I don't know if they're musts, you know, like maybe Jesus because he's 1400 cheaper than Sterling, but I think you could go for a floor with Rashica. I don't know if you're playing two City midfielders and maybe one other City forward, then yeah, you can play someone from a different team in the other spot, don't you think?
I think for cash games, I'm more likely to avoid the mistake rather than get too cute. So, for instance, you from a mean projection standpoint, Rashica at 7,300 at home as an underdog against Newcastle may have a higher mean projection than a Sterling or a Jesus. Like, I have a lower standard deviation. But, like, if you gave me the choice of, like, I have to play three teams in a lineup on DraftKings. You have to play three teams. Wouldn't it make so much more sense to just, like, how do I get six City players into my lineup? And no matter which way the goals and the points are distributed, at least I know I'm most likely going to get, like, most of them. Like, yeah, maybe I don't play a Sterling, Bernardo and Jesus together, right? Because I have Gundogan, like, I can't fit them all, but I have five out of the six. And as long as I have five out of the six, I think I'm fine. Rather than take one out, put Rashica there, and the one out of the six, which you could choose whichever one, ends up the one with 24 points. Rashica has 11, and that burns me because that guy's also 70% owned in cash as well.
Yeah.
So it's like I'd rather just not try to get cute. That's why at 4,600, Chris Wood, who has a plus 160 goal scoring odds. But I almost view those goal scoring odds as fictional at this point, because no matter, he's always listed as something like that, and he gives mm-hmm. me 1 point. Like mm-hmm. I said, it's some type of, it's a metaverse type of thing. That's his goals exist somewhere else, just not in the real world. At least you're paying 40, like you're paying all the way down. Rajishka's 7,300. So you could play a city guy for that. 4,600, there are no city guys, unless you're playing Rodri, unless you're playing Fernandinho, like center backs or something like that. So if you wanted to play, for instance, Gundogan, Grealish, Zinchenko, Cancelo, and just and only one of the city forwards, and then like, well, I need to still fill another forward spot, I could see Chris Wood being an option. I don't even think that's the best build, because I think that most of the city options that you'd want to play are forward eligible anyway, right? So you're most likely filling two forwards with city spots.
Do you think you need to worry about Sterling, though, in cash? Is he going to be popular?
I think they're all going to be popular.
Okay, because, I mean, yeah, I would want to get it. I don't know, six would be fine, sure. I would want to get at least five city guys. But, I mean, what if... I don't know. To me, the best four would be Gundogan, Grealish, Cancelo, and Ederson. Then you just play one city forward. That's probably what I would do. But again, yeah, just trying to get as much city in as possible.
No, but I don't see how you avoid, because you have Sterling, you have Bernardo, and you have Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it's like you have three options. It's not like it's only two people and that's it. It's like, I just don't see the way around playing two out of the three, because what other options are you going to play? And if you're going to play another option in order to get that type of lineup in, then you're playing Chris Wood.
Well, like,
then you're punting.
Just because I can't afford two city guys, basically.
That's if you play Cancelo. That's not if you play Zinchenko.
Right.
And also it depends on whether or not you play Ederson, a goalkeeper.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. If I wasn't playing those guys, then yeah, then you spend up for two city guys. I agree. I don't think you should play Sterling, though.
He's 9,300. What's wrong with that?
Jesus and Bernardo are 1K cheaper.
Oh, but then you're at least playing two of them. Okay. But the point I'm making is, if you want to make a point of not playing Sterling and playing Jesus and Bernardo instead of Sterling, I'm fine with that.
Just but because
to me, it's like, I don't think you play one of Bernardo or Jesus with some other games forward.
I just think there's other ways to spend there's decent ways to spend some money. So I don't want to unnecessarily spend up on Sterling. Like, even for cash games, you might want target. You might want both expensive defenders. You know, you might want another one of these mid-range midfielders. There's a couple guys that might be guaranteed double digits, basically. So if you go with a more balanced lineup, then you know, you can't really get to Sterling. So I don't know. That was the construction I was looking at.
What happens, Ryan, if KDB starts and Bernardo doesn't?
Man, if KDB starts, I think you just got to roster him.
Yeah, but that's not the question I'm asking. Is that if KDB starts, we go by this projected lineup. You get Jesus, Sterling, Grealish, Gundogan, KDB, Rodri. So basically... Mm-hmm. You have three city players that are midfield only and two that are forward eligible. Now if you're going to roster KDB, you're going to roster Grealish at that price, probably.
For sure.
And then now you still need two forwards. So either you're taking both Sterling and Jesus, or you're not playing two city forwards. Like,
right. Yeah, in that case, I wouldn't. KDB being 10K, I'd probably just go KDB, Grealish, one city forward, and a Chris Wood type punt there.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And then I guess to circle back to Rashika, he may be a decent play, like if this was a different slate, but I wouldn't spend my money there in cash.
So you guys are having the Sterling conversation. So just in cash games here, would you rather have Sterling or James Madison in cash games?
Madison for 100%. Sure. Yeah, but okay. You still have to fill forwards. But you have lineup spots to fill.
Yeah, I know. You just it was just you got. I mean, you're obviously not going to have both of those guys in, but Jordan, you're saying, like, why not have Sterling in your lineup so you can get all these Man City guys? But, like, you're not going to have Madison and then a bunch of Man City guys.
It's I know what you're saying, though, Adam. Are you saying if Madison starts, like, to me, it seems weird to have three midfielders, but three midfielders would be the first three players in my lineup, Gundogan, Grealish, Madison, and then I'd figure out forward. So right. I know what you're saying. If Madison starts, I would definitely play him in cash, if no KDB especially.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was building here, just in like utility spot. You have like a spot here with 9K-ish. Range, so you're in the Madison, you're in the Sterling range. So
then I would probably not play Cancelo, you know, because that's like a luxury paying 7,100 for him.
Yeah. Just otherwise for forward, I kind of like. We'll see what the lineups look like, but I mean, we said it midweek. Leicester is going to rotate. I assume they're probably going to go back to Marty and Soyuncu at center back. That's kind of what they've been doing for the last couple weeks. They allowed that late goal to Richarlison midweek. But, I mean, overall, I think there's just my personal thoughts here. I think I like there to be goals in this Leicester-Aston Villa match, and I don't think there's going to be goals in the Norwich-Newcastle match. So that's going to lead me to, like, I like Ollie Watkins at 6,400. We'll see who starts up front for Leicester. I'm not as positive in that situation because it looks like Vardy is close, and then you still got Iheanacho. So those guys are going to be subbing off. Whoever starts can be subbing off in like the 60th, but you also got Ings at 6,900 in that match. Does anything else? So outside of Man City, I mean, just for tournaments here, because what do we like anything else? I mean, we got Coutinho here, 8,000. He's not going to be popular. No one's going to be looking to Coutinho. When you got the Man City guys there, like, is no one's going to be looking to Pookie here, who got a price bump here, 7,600. Are we considering these guys here just because they're not going to be popular or what?
I don't want to roster Coutinho. I'm interested to hear Jordan's thoughts on tournaments for this slate, because it's a weird one. I have a feeling the higher stakes stuff is going to be pretty similar. People aren't going to be able to get away from Manchester City, and where they do, I think they'll end up in similar spots. There might be a cheap Leicester forward. I don't know. Pat Sandaka, he looks okay. Ollie Watkins looks okay. There's some midfielders in that match. John McGinn, you know, looks like an okay play with Dina out. Again, probably will take most of the set pieces, and he's been pretty good in that role. Madison, yeah, I kind of think Madison's going to start. It's just that game they have isn't until Thursday, and they don't really need to rest him, and it's a home match. But if he doesn't, Dewsbury Hall would look pretty good. He's even split the set pieces last week, but he's been taking set pieces if Madison and all Brighton aren't out there. And he's just got some open play upside too. Always plays 90 minutes, pretty cheap. So I would want to look there. The Norwich Newcastle match. Yeah, I mean, we talked about Chris Wood. He'll be a popular cheap forward. I don't know. I don't mind going to the other Newcastle guys. Almiron had 7 shots last game, scored a great goal. I don't really think people will roster him now that his price is up. I think Joe Linton's a fine option. I don't know why I just sort of rambled through all the games. I kind of forgot what you asked me.
I will say, I think Newcastle's Eddie Howe said they're going to rotate some, so there's going to be some rotation. Maybe lied, but I assume that's going to involve Almiron, just because he's been playing more than he has almost all season. He's gotten a back-to-back starts here, and St. Maximin's another guy who could be rotated. So, like we said, midweek, I think Jacob Murphy, I guess he's midfield only, but there's a possibility he starts as a forward. He's 5,100. Do you have any other thoughts here at forward, Jordan?
I think in general, the Leicester Villa game is going to be the lowest owned game out of the three. If Chris Wood starts, like, that cheap price, people are going to pair, like, Target, Shelby, Wood, right? Jacob Murphy, if he starts, because he's like 5,100 midfield only. See people going there. I see people possibly going to like Kieran Dowell, Rajishka, Norman, you know, they've Byram and Giannoulis are kind of cheap Norwich fullbacks. It's just that the Leicester Aston Villa game, like, if Matt, I don't even know if Madison, I don't, even if Madison's in or out, I'm not even sure what the ownership of this game is, because like, I don't see either side being owned much. I don't see, maybe we'll talk about defender. There may be a cheap defender, Aston Villa defender that we may be playing in cash games, but I don't see McGinn being all that owned, Jacob Ramsey being all that owned. Coutinho, Ings, and Watkins are going to be complete afterthoughts with the City forwards being well-owned. And I could say the same for Daka and Ayoze Perez. Like, you could say the same for Lookman. You could say if Madison's out, I think Dewsbury Hall will be more owned. Maybe not highly owned, but owned enough. But then if Madison's in at 9K, Madison is the same price as a lot of the City guys. So I think Madison's ownership goes down. Luke Thomas, James Justin. I just did Tielemans. I just don't see this game being highly owned, but I could also see this game being a 3-2 game, right? Newcastle, Norwich. I don't know for their ownership. If Newcastle rotates, they're probably not going to look as good as they have been recently. Norwich typically don't look good. This game could be a very messy game. Depending on if Madison's in and Aston Villa runs out a normal lineup, this game pretty much could look as both teams normally would look, other than the fact that Leicester's center backs are a little bit weaker. So to me, that implies maybe possibly a higher ceiling for this game. Watford, obviously, if you think, why, hey, you want to play Saar or Dennis or Pate, good luck. I just very similar. Like, if Watford scores one, the problem with rostering Watford is that if Watford get lucky and score one goal, that person you may not even need.
No.
Right? It's like that Watford's just not going to have enough possession where if Pedro scores, he's sitting there with 13 points, and like, I could find 13 points from somewhere else on the slate. It's not going to be make or break unless someone scores two. And I don't consider Watford to have enough possession that people, they're even going to be racking up, you know, chances created and crosses. It's like Man City's going to have 75% possession this game. To me, it really comes down to overall on the slate of basically, I'm going to be in GPP. I'm going to be light on Man City. I'm going to try to get the two or three pieces on Man City that you need.
Mm-hmm.
And then find the stuff that is low owned, but I'm not playing. There's not going to be a lineup where I'm just like, oh, I'm just playing Ruben Diaz in this lineup. And that's it. Like, it's most likely one of my forward slots is going to be filled by a City player. And I just hopefully get the guy that gets 22 points that you need. And the other guy you don't necessarily need, or at least I match him with a cheaper player. Right. I play one City midfielder. Right. And hopefully get the right one. Play one City defender, hopefully get the right one, and may or may not play Ederson. And if he gives up one goal in the lineups that I don't have him in, then I don't need him. I mean, like, I said, for cash games, I'm more likely to just not overthink it, play six City guys, and then just go, as long as City puts up a couple of goals, I'm winning double ups. I'm probably fine. No matter who scores, I don't have to guess. And then in my GPP lineups, it's like, well, I'll guess this two combination, that combination, this combination, and then fill it out. And more likely, I'm more likely to play no defenders in the Leicester-Aston Villa game and play both sides of that game and then do it more of a defensive stack of the Norwich-Newcastle game, especially if Newcastle rotates. I think Krul as a pay-down option if Newcastle rotates significantly. I'll take the home keeper in that type of situation. Newcastle, I mean, they're not getting relegated, right? I mean, like, this really, Newcastle doesn't have really much to play for. Not saying Norwich does either, but at least Norwich kind of maybe has a slight glimmer of hope of maybe we could do it, whatever. So I would figure that the Norwich Newcastle game, if Newcastle rotates, could have a much lower score, and Leicester Aston Villa, if they don't rotate, as a higher score. So, and with the ownership and the pricing the way it is, I'd rather overpay for some of this Leicester Aston Villa game for low ownership on a 3-game slate than try to just jam in value everywhere.
I definitely agree with that. I would say that even if Newcastle don't rotate, that it's not going to matter. That's going to be low scoring. The way they're playing right now is just pretty much to limit any good chance and kind of win 1-0 matches. The only way that isn't happening is if the other team scores early in the first half and then they have to push the rest of the way. I think that happened with Leicester last weekend, but the way that Eddie Howe and Newcastle are playing right now, the way they're winning is just by keeping things tight, keeping things low scoring. It doesn't matter. What I'm saying, it doesn't matter if they rotate or not. I think it's going to be a tight, low scoring match. There's not going to be a ton of opportunities. But yeah, earlier Ryan said he had no interest in playing Coutinho. And that, I mean, that's the first reason here that it's like, okay. If Ryan thinks that, then he's a good play. I think someone on Villa is going to have a good match. I think both these teams are going to score. And so with this matchup, Villa actually hasn't played in 2 weeks, while Leicester, I think, has had maybe 4 matches since the last time Aston Villa has played, because they've been playing in Europa Conference League. So Villa are rested, whereas Leicester are rotating and not rested. So that's definitely something to keep in mind here. But as we get into midfield, we got De Bruyne, we got the 10K. We've pretty much talked, I don't know, almost all there is to need to talk about here. I guess in terms of cash games as well, because, you know, it's either De Bruyne and then probably Grealish. And then if De Bruyne is not in, we're looking at Gundogan and Grealish. I mean, that's pretty safe to assume that's the cash route. I mean, if Madison starts, then you could talk about putting him in somewhere. But what else do we like? I know Ryan is a big fan of Bruno Guimarães here, 7,400. His price keeps going up. He got an assist last match, so we got that involved. I mean, otherwise, we got John McGinn here. Speaking of the Aston Villa match, he's 6,100, taking more set pieces. Nothing really stands out. Kieran Dowell, I don't know what exactly we said about him last week, but he ended up being 24 points and winning some contests.
You said you
got a goal and an assist. That'll help.
Yeah.
I know Ryan played him, actually.
I played him. Definitely. Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you, we were just, about Kieran Dowell, because I know some people that annoyed a lot of people. Here's a little secret about soccer DFS, and specifically in the Premier League. If you're a $3,100 player that plays in the front three and takes some set pieces, you can always roster them. Like, as long as they're not playing Manchester City. And even then you could make an argument, but yeah, I mean, I don't know, Jordan, if you want to talk about midfield.
No, I mean, I look in this, to me, if I'm not going to pay up, I mean, there's not much to pay up for. I mean, a lot of people are forward eligible, but like, I'm looking in the low range, like Dowell, Murphy, Douglas Luiz, viable, right? Ramsey, probably not cash play, but 4,300, he's there. Lees Malou, if he starts, 4,100. I mean, Shelby, 3,800. Norman, 3,700. And there are guys down there. I mean, it's likely that you're probably playing someone in the, if you're playing six City guys, you're almost definitely playing someone in this range, right? And if you're not playing six City guys, you're still playing one of these guys in the range. You're most likely playing them a defender instead. I don't think the defender position is very strong on this slate, outside of three options, maybe, right? So it's really, you're just choosing between, like, how much money do you have left? I don't think paying in this slot is worth making a priority. So for instance, if you have 4,600 left and you play Douglas Luiz, that's fine. Like, I need to find the 600 to get to Dowell. Like, I don't view it like that. I view it's like, it starts from Dowell down to like Shelby. And it's like, whichever spot lands there, just that's your last piece. And they're probably better than the defenders in those slots, right? I'd rather play one of these midfielders than a defender in those slots. and whatever. Like, I just don't see the difference that much. If you have the money and you have 5,100, I'll play Jacob Murphy, assuming he starts. Don't be like, I need to find the 100 for Dowell. Or don't be, I have Ramsey. I need to find the 300 for Luis. Or I have, you know, 3,700. I need to find the 100 for Shelby. So just play Norman. Like, it's if you play Fernandinho, even if he starts or whatever, 3,500, he's a city piece. Who knows? You could get a goal, right? You know, and something could happen. Like, I just don't prioritize this range. It's just, there are guys there that I don't mind being the last piece into my lineup. And whatever the price is, the price is, I'd rather prioritize getting up to Ederson at goalkeeper than any of these guys. I'll sacrifice going from Dowell down to Shelby for 1,400 if I could get Ederson a goalkeeper, because the winning clean sheet odds for him are like dramatically different than everyone else on the slate.
Yep. Yeah, I agree with that. From Dowell on down, I would not prioritize any of them. Yeah, I wouldn't try to find any money to pay up for any of those guys.
Yeah, there's also a chance Fernandinho starts. He's 3,500, so you get that price decrease compared to Rodri. So there's another Manchester City guy you can throw in your lineup if you're sitting in that range and your other seven spots aren't Manchester City players. I will say he's not going to be popular, but Lees Malou for Norwich. He's 4,100. No one, you don't really think too much about him, but he's actually been playing as an attacking midfielder last couple matches for Norwich because they've moved to a 4-2-3-1. It's somewhat helped, I guess you could say. I mean, they got a couple goals the last two matches, so I guess it has helped. But he has four shots, four chances created the last two matches. Something to consider if you're in that range. I mean, it's usually not someone we talk about, so I felt like I'd bring him up.
Hey, do you remember last podcast when you were joking about Imran Luza plus 1,400 to score?
Wait, did he score?
No, but he had four shots. He was always in front of goal, and he missed an absolute sitter from about 6 yards out. Just we were joking about how he might, you know, does he have upside to score? I don't know. Maybe only from a free kick. But yeah, I don't really want to roster him against City, but 3,600 and taking the corners is a chance for an assist.
You said midweek you don't play anyone against City, and then I think Brighton had whatever they had. They didn't have much in their match against Manchester City.
No,
and I don't think Watford are going to have much.
No, definitely not. I mean, we saw what happened when we tried to play Watford against Leeds. I mean, imagine what's going to happen here. And Jordan made a good point when he said, and there's a lot of slates like this. Like, you know, if a Watford guy scores, you know, oh no, if he scores and I didn't roster him, it just doesn't matter most of the time because one, you know, they don't score enough because there's no floor there. And two, they're not high owned. So there's not that many combinations. So you're not usually going to get beat. So yeah, I just don't worry about spots like that. To me, Manchester City are about 95% to keep a clean sheet. So that's how I look at these slates.
Right. If Watford scores, what matters more is Ederson's score than the guy that actually scored.
Exactly. Yep.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Yeah, I'm not going to be using Ederson, so let's hope for that stain. But defender here, Cancelo, you got something to say, Jordan, here?
No, I was going to go on to defender. I was going to ask Ryan, do you think that there's a dramatic enough difference between Cancelo and Zinchenko that if you played Zinchenko over Cancelo for $1,600 less, you'd be okay? Or would you rather play target in that range than play Zinchenko? Because you watched the games more than I do.
Yes.
And okay. Like so, the way that Man City play with their defenders is so much different than other teams that like when Cancelo is in on that the side that Walker normally plays on, like Cancelo is on that foot, so like he almost plays as a winger slash attacking midfield. Like he's not playing as a right back.
Right.
And typically. No. If he's playing that high up the pitch, the fullback on the other side is playing like next to Rodri or Fernandinho. Like they play almost as like the holding midfielder in those instances. And their ceiling, you just look and you go, City have 80% possession. And why does whoever's playing on the left defender slot, like he's sitting there and you just look on the pitch and they're standing next to the defensive midfielder. Because Cancelo's up and going. Now, that's much different when Cancelo's on the left side. Because that doesn't happen. Because Cancelo doesn't defend. Essentially, to put it nicely, Cancelo is a Marcus Alonso-esque when it comes to defending. So they have all these tucking in type of fullbacks. So, like, it seems like why Zinchenko, why not play at 5,500? The only thing is I'm always concerned that of how involved in play he's going to be. And second question, I know I'm adding it all together. Do you think Zinchenko's value goes up if KDB is not in? Because Zinchenko can also take set pieces and that center of the park isn't going to be as congested. Like it's more likely that it'll be, you know, like Gundogan and Fernandinho or whatever, I'll occupy the center and I'll allow Zinchenko to go forward more.
Yeah. Those are all the important questions. Yeah. And I think you hit.
They're unanswerable.
No, I think they are answerable. Most of the time, I think Cancelo is definitely worth the 1700 or the 1600 over Zinchenko. And I mean, most of the time Zinchenko is not getting forward as much as you think, even in matchups where City are huge favorites and going to dominate. There's been a number of times where I roster Zinchenko and yeah, I'm just tilted the whole match because he's basically playing as a third center back. This spot though, yeah, there's a good chance he's going to have some set pieces. I don't know if KDB is the important one for that. I think the important one for that is Mahrez and Foden because, you know, if they're not in there, it's Zinchenko's left foot that takes those corners a lot of times. So, like, you know, this is the question I've been thinking about too. Like, is it worth it? I don't know. I would want to get Cancelo on the right. I don't think Zinchenko has a lot of open play upside, but if he does have sets, you're really going to want him. So it's tough.
Just play them both.
You could, but then you have target, you know, it's a good spot for target. Maybe target should just be the first one in. Cause you know, he's going to take most of the sets. It's a pretty good matchup. Defender's tough. I don't know. I think, you know, there's uncertainty, if you couldn't tell by the way I was analyzing those City guys. So I don't know.
All right. My first question is, You guys keep calling him Conchalo. Do you know this for a fact that his name is Conchalo, not Cancelo?
No, I always call him Cancelo. Jao Cancelo. Right. Jao Cancelo.
Yeah, are you sure though?
Yep. No, what do you think it is?
I just think it's Cancelo. That
I don't think
I'm not,
so.
I'm not gonna trust the guy that can't even pronounce Rajiska's name right.
Yeah, I can't do that, or some of the ones that I can't do, but.
I've been to Portugal, all right. I've spoken Portuguese once in my life. But no, I think the CH is like the C with the thing on the bottom. But I don't think that's what Cancelo has. So that's why I ask. But you guys always talk like you know. So I just wanted to double check here.
Yeah, I don't know. I could be wrong. Maybe I've just been saying it like that for so long that somehow I think it's right now. I don't know.
Yeah. While you guys were talking, I was just trying to go through like all the matches that Zinchenko and Cancelo have been playing, and there hasn't been a ton, and there's just not really good comparisons. Like when there's a match earlier in the season, they beat Leicester 6-3, and both Zinchenko and Cancelo didn't really do anything just because they had so many goals, they weren't really needed in the attack. So there's stuff like that where it's just hard to gauge exactly if one guy's going forward and the other sitting back kind of a thing. So it's just we'll see what happens kind of a thing. So
you know, Adam, I mean, I think you're right on like half of the name, but you always say Cancelo. Wouldn't it be Cancelo?
Cancelo.
Cancelo. Seems like you're saying it like there's an A.
That's how it's. I don't know the exact E in Portuguese, but that's how it is in Spanish. So
okay. All right. Sorry. Off.
I believe your wife is Spanish, actually, so you should know this.
I'll ask her.
I looked it up on Google. Cancelo.
What?
That's what it says.
All right. Well, I don't trust Google.
Cancelo.
Okay.
Someone in our chat is saying the UK commentators say Cancelo, but I don't know. I can't believe UK commentators either. So, but all right. What else do we got in defender here? Have you guys mentioned Ashley Young at 3,800? Do we want any piece
No,
of
but
him?
I just wanted to go back. Sorry. Coutinho, when I like dismissed him, you like got me back on him just a little bit for those reasons you said. Well, two reasons. One, just for tournaments. One, he's not going to be popular, so that's a good reason. And then I didn't realize that he's the same price as Gabriel Jesus. So some of my favorite couple Jesus lineups, I'll probably switch to Coutinho also. So yeah. Just wanted to clarify that. I think, based on him not being popular, it's probably a pretty good play.
Looking up on Google, by the way, I've solved the argument. It's not okay. It's not a ch sound.
Yeah. Okay. Nice.
There we go.
Cancelo. Something.
Now, like now we got to get you to pronounce Milos Rajiska.
Rajiska? Is that
yeah,
it?
Rajiska.
There's an SH in the middle.
Yes. He's from Kosovo.
Oh yeah, the worst one. The worst pronunciation. I mean, the worst pronunciation I've ever done was last week for Juraj Kuchka when I said "kuka."
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
That's the worst. That's the most embarrassing one ever. Because I mean, I watch the games too, and then I see the name, and you know, it just doesn't come out right.
That was a pretty good one.
Yeah.
But yeah,
Ashley Young? I mean, at 3,800, to me, that's like the punt play.
I want to say before we move off Zinchenko that we have to mention that we have Pep Guardiola gave his press conference this morning, and he basically said Nathan Ake, John Stones, Kyle Walker, all of those guys, unknown, questionable. We'll see how they look later today kind of a thing. We'll see how they look Saturday morning. So we don't know. I doubt Kyle Walker's coming back because he's been out for a couple weeks or so already now. But Stones and Ake, they just got hurt. So as we're talking about Zinchenko, like there's a chance we could have Ake and Stones in there again. So I wanted to mention that, though.
Yeah, and okay, I'll be a little bit more definitive than I was. Zinchenko without sets is not worth 5,500.
And also, but if Ake is in playing as a pseudo left back, he's 4,300 now, and he's not 3,100.
Right, so which is too much.
At 3,100, he was fine to play, even though he came off at the half with an injury. But if he starts again, instead of Zinchenko there, I ain't paying 4,300 for
him. No, me either. That's too much. He's not a left back, and Ruben Diaz would be a better play than Ake.
Yeah, I mean, we look at the goal odds here, and Ashley Young's 3,800. Is that going to make him popular in cash games, or okay? Jordan's saying yes. So
yeah, I mean, you need someone in that range. You're more likely to do it at defender. I think that's going to be a popular. I think Ashley Young, if you're going to punt at defender, that's going to be that guy. If you're going to be playing a lineup that's Cancelo plus Target, then most likely your punt is going to be Jonjo Shelvey for the same price.
I do want to ask, Jordan, so we have these goal odds here, and I'm pretty sure these goal odds are basically based off of Ashley Young playing more as like a winger or as a forward. Because, I mean, you look at Matty Cash, he's plus 950. So, like, do people that, you know, just plug in lineups, do mass lineups, do they care about that kind of a thing, that he is a defender and he's plus 320, or...
Yeah, but he's also more likely to get forward than Matt Cash. Like, Ashley Young's...
I don't know if he is, though. Why is he more likely to get forward?
I think Matt Cash is more likely to get forward than Ashley Young. Pretty confident.
I just think those odds are based off him playing as a forward earlier in the season.
So bet against him.
Yeah, so I think it's kind of like a ploy here, but in the system that people are going to fall for, and then
Chris Wood ploy. Then
you're not playing ploy. You're not playing Ashley Young to score a goal, though. He's 3,800. It's a fine play. You know, he's going to put some crosses in. He has a decent floor for that cheap price. So I mean,
but when he scores, everyone's just going to luck out and be like, "Yeah, I looked at the odds, and there we go. He's supposed to score."
That happened with Kieran Dowell, and it seemed like no one complained, right?
How are his odds like that?
I think it's because he played forward earlier in the season. That's the only reason. Maybe.
But I mean,
because they just don't want to be screwed by it, just because he's someone who's played left back and he's played as a winger, so. That they'll put their odds like that. It's kind of how it is.
Is there anywhere where you can bet no?
No. I mean, not that I know of.
What? Yeah. That's like going to be minus 1,000, though.
Well, if it wouldn't be that much if it's 320, yes. But yeah, okay. Anyways.
I mean, is anything below? I mean, we get below here. We got Ruben Diaz is at 3,700 too. Is there anything else that's down here that really stands out? I mean, again, we're going to the center back range.
Well, Sam Byram or Tim Castagna is going to be probably the cheapest fullback that may be playing. And I don't care. I'd still play Young over both of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, Byram's basically a center back playing fullback. I guess Newlitz is a little better, but he's 4,500, so he's not even in that conversation either. So, I mean, it just seems like it's one of those slates where you have these guys like Target, Salo, and I guess Young down here, but you have the guys that are pretty much locks no matter the type of competition. And then you, for your second defender, it just depends on what else you have. So goalkeeper here, 95% chance to get a clean sheet, according to Ryan. According to the odds, it's at 56%. I mean, you said 95% chance, so are you going to have him in your lineup here at 5,900? Are you going to find the room for him?
probably. Yeah, actually. Assuming
De Bruyne doesn't start.
Right. Like, if I have extra money, yeah, I've been, at least in my main lineup or my higher stakes lineup, I've been trying to get to the expensive keeper when there's a difference. I do think it's worth it. That was one of the things I was happy to hear Jordan talk on his podcast with Saramek about that a little bit. I didn't realize that. I think, you know, for a long time, the move was just to play the cheap goalie, even from most of the sharps and even the cheap defenders too. And then I've been playing the expensive defenders with the expensive keeper. And, you know, you're just never sure what the correct strategy is. But I think when there's a that big of a difference in the clean sheet odds and no, you know, if there's no Mahrez and De Bruyne, yeah, you should use that salary for a guaranteed clean sheet. I know it's not guaranteed, but
I almost think he's going to be, I think midweek Ederson was maybe 25-something% in cash games. I feel like now
he
in
was,
a better,
no, he was 40.
Oh, he was higher like that. Okay. Yeah. I think it might even be higher than that. Just going against Watford. And then you combine that with the fact that there's possibly that Mahrez and De Bruyne both aren't in, like people are going to have money. So like, could Ederson be 50% in cash games? Is that crazy?
I'm fine with it.
So that's kind of the cash move is what we're coming down to here.
Yeah, and if you don't pay for Ederson, you're probably playing Schmeichel or Krul.
I'm looking here. Single entry, double up. Ederson was 27% against Brighton.
What level? What dollar amount?
Small, $5.
Okay. But the $25 22-man that I play, he was 40%.
Yeah, fewer entries, so that's kind of what you get.
I guess. Well, I mean, I'm playing. It depends on what contest, obviously.
100%. Yeah. So otherwise, what else do we like? I mean, as I said before, I'm not going to be looking at the Leicester Aston Villa match for a goalkeeper. I will be focusing on probably Tim Krul is my look, just because of, and depending if I have enough money, Dubravka's in there. I just think that's going to be a low scoring match. Either of you want to play Ben Foster in this spot and hope for 8 saves and maybe only 1 goal up? I will say, so as I mentioned, Pep Guardiola's press conference, he did mention that Manchester City have had trouble against Roy Hodgson managed teams when he was at Crystal Palace before. So there you go. Could be a 1-0 result.
I could see Foster. To me, the only way reasonably, the only way that Foster is optimal is if there's no clean sheets. Like if you want to play Foster, then if there's no clean sheets on the entire slate, goalkeeper, like correlation between goalkeeper and anything doesn't really even matter anymore. Right. Yeah. So like, it's quite possible to play 4 City players with Foster scoring 2 points and no keeper scores over 5 points. So it doesn't even matter what you have at keeper anyway. So to me, Foster, you'd use Foster in GPP lineups that either have no City players, right, which is unlikely that you're probably doing that, very contrarian, or you're playing Foster and just hoping that, like, literally all the games have each team scoring a goal and that Ederson isn't worth that price. Like, no, none of the keepers. It's not a matter of Foster even scoring, you know, getting 8 saves. It's just a matter of all the other keepers not getting a clean ties. I mean, not even wins. I mean, if Leicester Aston Villa is 2-2, Man City wins 4-1, and Norwich is 1-1, right? Like, Ederson gets the win, gave up a goal, but has no other save, so he's sitting there with 3 points. Foster could, the other goalkeepers in all the other games only have negative 2, 2, 4, and Foster's sitting there with 0. And you're fine with that. Like, gave up 4 goals, has 5 saves. And you're, to me, that is a more way to build than unless you're building a lineup with no Man City players, which I just don't think you do. But I wouldn't, on this slate, I don't consider it wild or stupid to build Man City and Foster in the lineup on a 3-game slate. If it was a bigger slate, I would definitely say don't do it, because then there's some chance that some goalkeeper puts up 18 points or something. But yeah, so that's my goalkeeper assessment. But as usual, play whoever you want.
Yeah, no, I think that's the right assessment. We had a slate like that recently, and in those circumstances, Foster's can score 2 points, and even, you know, a couple of the other guys can score maybe 6 or even 7, and yeah, it's fine. Just what it also does is, you don't need the highest scoring keeper because the constructions, I don't know how to explain what I'm saying, but the lineup constructions are different. If Never mind.
You're kind of saying the same thing that I am.
Yeah.
All right, so that's goalkeeper. Before we go,
Sorry. Usually, if you like, say in that circumstance, I don't know, the Newcastle keeper or has Dubravka has 8 points, but Watford has or Foster has 2. But someone in the Norwich game was put up a decent fantasy score. Well, no one who rostered Dubravka is going to have that guy who put up a decent score on Norwich. So Foster's 2 points compared to Dubravka's 8 or whatever it is, you know, might not or does not matter sometimes in those circumstances. If that made any sense.
Yeah, definitely made a lot of sense. We're much smarter now that we heard that.
Okay. Cancelo.
João Cancelo.
You still looking that up?
No, I already did. It's Cancelo.
Okay. That's what Cancello.
All right. So before we go, I just put together a Man City heavy lineup. So do you guys think that the tournament winner for this contest, I feel like we've seen this before where it was like just in front of us the whole time. The winner just had 6 Man City guys, 7 Man City guys. They won 5-0 and then not enough happened in the other matches that lineup just won. So I put this lineup together. Sterling, Silva, Gundogan, Grealish, Ruben Dias, Target, Ederson, Douglas, Luiz. That's your lineup right there. Do you guys like that lineup?
That's perfectly fine. Just understand that City is going to be
everyone else is going to have that lineup.
No, not everyone else is going to have that lineup. Just understand that the more City that you play in your lineup, the more duplicated that combination will be, which means you're going to be competing with a lot of lineups that look like that. And your two other players in your lineup, that's going to be the determinant. If Douglas Luiz scores 20 points, you win. But if Douglas Luiz puts up 4 and City goes on for a 5-0 game, you don't even come close to the top 20 or anything like that, because all of the Man City guys are going to be 30, 40, 50% owned. So it's an easier path to first place. If you play for 2 or 3 City guys are needed, but not 5 or 6, and then now you have a 4v4 in the rest of your lineup to now get the 6% owned guy that has 18 points, get the 12% owned guy that has a brace, right? You have Ollie Watkins has 2 goals and he's 6% owned, and you have him as your one-off, and it like you have more opportunities because you have more slots than go for a Man City, just score 5-5. Yeah. That is the most likely outcome, but there's a difference between most probable and most profitable.
Yeah, I don't know. I just wanted to bring it up because I don't like doing that the full Man City capture because it's not very fun.
But the capture makes sense in cash, though. See, yeah, it's a weird way to put it. That's like typically it's like, oh, I'm going to stack one team. That's like a GPP strategy. It's like to me, no, it's a more of a cash strategy because you get to capture all of Man City and not have to worry about getting the right guys. In GPP, people are going to try to capture all of Man City, and I need to care about getting the right guys. And cash, if I have Bernardo, if I have all of them, and Bernardo has 3 points, but Sterling has 32, like as long as I have all of them, like it doesn't, 2 of them combined for 35, that's all I need, because Rzyczko only has 8, so who cares? Or Chris Wood has a standard 1.7 points, so I don't care about that. I mean, like, I just want it all. I don't have to decide on it. But on GPPs, they're going to be just that combo. Those combinations are going to be so owned.
Right.
But I'd rather try to get, but not get different in the way of like not playing Man City, but just getting the right, which are the right pieces. I have no clue. That's why I built 6 lineups and I do this combination, that combination, this combination, and hopefully I have the right one.
Yeah. There we go. Ryan, what are your last thoughts? We had Anthony Gordon midweek. He ended with 15. Not a terrible outing. I actually went off of him once Demarai Gray was in the starting 11, but Still yeah. made it, 15 points.
I went off of him too. I just wanted to say he was unlucky not to pick up a couple assists though. Richarlison yeah. missed what was one of the easiest chances, you know, all season for any forward. It would have been from Gordon. And another one also. Richarlison should have had a hat trick easily in that game. But anyways.
So I assume your top GPP play is Coutinho, or who's it going to be?
No, I mean, it's a good GPP play. I just saw this now. Manchester City have a $7,700 forward named Kaiki.
Yeah, he's like, I think he came from Brazil, I want to say, but he's like a young guy that's been training with him.
Of course. Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
We'll be talking about him in 2 years, probably.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, besides City, it's tough. A guy that I would like, if there's no Madison, I'll have some interest in Dewsbury Hall. I'm a big fan of his. He's going to get an England call up pretty soon.
Yeah, he's someone I've played. He's someone I've looked at in the past. He's just really came on this season. He's been good for him. There'll be some set pieces for him too. But yeah, that Leicester lineup is really, maybe more so than the Man City one. We just don't know exactly how they're going to look because of all the matches that they're playing and the fact that like guys like Mendy and Tielemans and Dewsbury Hall, they're playing full 90s every game, but they got all these matches. But I think that's all we got. You guys got anything else here?
Nope.
Cancelo.
Joao Cancelo. Okay, there we go. If you've been watching on YouTube or Twitter, we got the cheat sheet up. Get this. Go to rotowire.com/soccertrial, free 10-day trial, no credit card required. It has all your useful information. Let me refresh this, see if we can get any updated odds. Nope, nothing has changed in the last hour of us discussing. But, yeah. Jordan, you can find him at BlenderHD. Ryan is at Ryan Belangi. And Ryan mentioned the podcast that Jordan did earlier in the week. He interviewed Sarah Mech on his podcast Theory of DFS. And I'll be checking that out. But if you want to learn a little bit more about, you know, one of the best soccer DFS players in the world, listen to that podcast. Free plug for Jordan's podcast there. So you're welcome on that one. But guys, thanks for joining me. We will be back next week for another, I think it's a 4-game slate next week, but we also got Champions League, so from what I could see, it looks like it may only be showdowns for us, but maybe they'll put in a 2-game slate come Monday. We'll see what happens. But thanks for joining me, guys. Jordan, Ryan, see you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.